19, and I'd like to begin reading with verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him up on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I would also like to read the first two verses of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And I would like to again ask for your prayers today. I'd like to speak today about the white horse and its rider. And those things are mentioned in both of these places that I have read today, this vision of the heaven being opened, and a white horse and its rider appearing in this vision. Now, the imagery is different. The circumstances are different. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, we read about the white horse and the one that sat upon him being the faithful and the true judge. And we read about on his head being many crowns. And in the sixth chapter of the Revelation, in the first two verses there, we read about the white horse. And we read about the one sitting on the white horse having a bow in his hand. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, when we read about him, we read about the sword coming from his mouth. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And so this imagery, as I said, is different, and the circumstances are different. But I want to tell you something that I believe wholeheartedly about this, that I believe the rider on the white horse in Revelation 19 and the rider on the white horse in Revelation 6 are one and the same. It's Jesus. Now, the reason that I say that, and you may think, well, that's kind of a no-brainer, but the reason that I say that is because if you research these verses, and if you read what other people have written, you're going to find out that people believe that there is a difference, that some believe that the The rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6 was not in reference to Jesus. That the rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 19 is in reference to Jesus. And to me, that's just wrong. He is the rider on the white horse. And that's where we need to keep him, in our hearts and in our minds. Now, in the fifth chapter of Revelation, we find here that it says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And it says, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And you know, I'm so thankful today that there was one found worthy to open the book. I'm thankful that there was one found worthy to loose the seals, the seven seals, and open the book. If there had not been one worthy, then I would not be able today to try to speak to you about the white horse and his rider. Because we find this revealed with the opening of the first seal. And we find that I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and that is the first seal. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him had a bow. Now, if you put these things together, we realize that it was the Lord Jesus. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the one that prevailed to open the seals. And if we go on in the sixth verse there, after we have read in Revelation 5 and 5, and bear with me while I lay a little bit of a foundation here, but in the sixth verse, after we read about the Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailing to open this book and to loose the seals, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And then again in the next chapter there, in the sixth chapter, we see that it is the Lamb that opens this first seal. And if you go through the sixth chapter of Revelations and the seventh chapter of Revelations, you will find that it's the Lamb that opens each one of these seven seals. Nobody else but him could do it. He was the one that had prevailed. There was no other man in heaven, in earth, that could open the seals except for the Lamb of God. And so he begins to open these seals. And again, they're the first thing that John sees is this white horse, and him that sat on him had a bow. And he tells us here that he that sat on the white horse with the bow, that he went forth conquering and to conquer. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about Jesus, the mighty God, the conqueror, and the things that the Lord has conquered and the things that he continues to conquer. And that's what the verse tells us here, that a crown was given unto him and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And so certainly the Lord has conquered many things already, but you know, he continues to be that great conqueror. And you know, there have been so many things in my life, and I know that this has been the same, has been true for many of you. There have been so many things in my life from the time that I was born into the world that the only way that I could have any success, the only way that I could have any victory over them was through the Lord Jesus Christ, was through the one that sits upon and rides upon this white horse. And the white horse here, if we look at the symbolic meaning here, this white horse symbolizes that. It is a symbol of great victory. And so we have victory in our lives. Many of us here today have had the greatest of all victories, and some have not yet experienced the greatest victory of all. And you know what? I came here today with a prayer on my heart that you might know before you leave here today, that you might know the greatest victory that there is to be known. And you can only know that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was, to be honest with you, and I didn't know really if the Lord would allow me to do this, but last week when I came, I was going to preach on this subject about the white horse and his rider, but before I could do that, he showed up, and he just took over the service, and I certainly was thankful. You know, I felt like when I was here last week, I felt like, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be among God's people when their hearts were made to rejoice that way. And I'm always thankful and always happy to be in the house of God. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be here today in the presence of God's people and in the presence of the Spirit of Almighty God than to be anywhere else on this earth that I can think of. Jesus is the conqueror of all conquerors. Listen, there's never been anybody or anything that has ever defeated him. Nothing. We think sometimes of the great and final conquest. We think sometimes of what waits ahead and what Jesus did through his death and resurrection. And if the Lord is willing, I'm going to try to get to that in this message. But let's think about how victorious he was while he was here on the earth. There was nobody that could ever defeat him in anything. There was nobody that could stop him, no matter how hard that the devil tried, and no matter how many ways that he tried to approach it, and no matter how many evil people that he tried to use, the devil could not stop Jesus from going to the cross. He just couldn't stop him from doing that he had come into the world to do. He tried to do that through Herod when Jesus was just a child. He tried to have him killed when he sent for all those innocent
little ones to be slaughtered. He tried to get rid of him, but he could not accomplish that. God was watching over him, and he was sustaining him and keeping him to the purpose that he had sent him here to accomplish. The devil tried to turn Jesus away when after Jesus was baptized, and the Bible tells us that he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted with the devil. And the devil tried to persuade him in that even to worship him instead of God. But he couldn't persuade him, could he? He could not turn him away from what he had come here to do. Jesus was the greatest intellectual, he had the greatest intellectual mind of anybody that ever lived. And you know, we have had in years past, we have seen something that it's not very common anymore, but there used to be public debates that would be held where people of one man and another man of different beliefs and different persuasions would debate one another, and you know, they would go back and forth on different things that they believe in scriptures. And I've listened to some of them, and I've heard some of those men that some of our preachers that were involved in those debates, and sometimes I honestly felt sorry for the person that was debating them. But you know what? Nobody could ever win an argument with Jesus. Nobody could ever win a debate with Jesus. And I wanted to share one example that we have recorded in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, in verse 30 and 31. You know, prior to this, Jesus had cursed the fig tree. We read about the fig tree that was bearing leaves, and from the signs and of the tree was healthy, it was bearing leaves. It should have had figs on it, but it didn't. And so Jesus cursed that tree for that, and it withered. And after he had done that, the scribes and the Pharisees questioned his authority, and they asked him, "By what authority do you do these things?" And the Lord answered their question with a question. He said, "Well, since you've asked me by what authority I do these things, I'm going to also ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men?" And they began to reason, the Bible says, they began to reason within themselves. And they said, "Well, if we answer that it was from heaven, he's going to ask us, well, then why didn't you believe him? If we say that it's men, we can't do that because the people, you know, the people look at John as a prophet, and so we're in trouble with the people if we say that it was of men." And so they said, "Well, we just can't tell you." And the Lord said, "Well, then neither can I. You can't answer my question, I won't be able to answer your questions." And he could take, and we have more situations than that, but Jesus could deal with those people in a way that they just had to be quiet. He was so superior in his intellect. We find recorded in the Gospel of Luke that he was doing that, we know, by the age of 12. That he was just amazing those Jewish doctors with his knowledge. You know, the Bible says so many things about Christ. Jesus himself said, "I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end." Isaiah, and I didn't realize that this was in the Sunday school lesson this morning when I came, but Isaiah spoke about him in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, when he prophesied of Jesus, he said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Colossians, speaking about Jesus, said he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. He is the creator of all things in heaven and in earth. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I'm telling you, he is all of these things, and he is certainly the rider on the white horse of victory. Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, in the 8th chapter of Romans, he asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, shall any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? Aren't you thankful today that when the Lord saves a soul, aren't you thankful that not only does he have the power to save that soul, but he's got the power to keep that soul for all of eternity? Who shall separate us from the one that has given us this great victory? Who shall separate us from his love? You know, I love what was said in the there in the 19th chapter of Revelation in the 14th verse. The Bible tells us here that, as we said, that Jesus was sitting on the white horse and he is the great conqueror. But I love the fact that that chapter also tells us that those that follow him also sit upon white horses, and they are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. In the 7th chapter of Revelation, in verse 13, it says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen to this. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, not only is Jesus the great conqueror, not only is he on the white horse conquering and to conquer, but I'm telling you that through him, his people, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul answers that question when he said, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything? Is there persecution? Is there famine? Is there nakedness, peril, or sword that can separate us from the love of Christ? And then he said, no. Nay, I tell you, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know something? In January of 1955, I was born into this world. I was born into a world full of sin. Born into a world where I would be exposed to that. You were born into a world of sin. We were born into a world where sin, man had brought sin into the world, and ever since that day, it has had horrible consequences. We were born, like Job said, we were born into a world of trouble. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I'm telling you that anything that I have ever faced, or anything that you have ever faced or will ever face, there is nothing, I'm telling you, nothing that comes against us that Jesus Christ cannot conquer. There was a time, Brother Wheat, I heard him towards the end of the Sunday school lesson today speaking about this. There was a time when God, through the working of His Holy Spirit in my heart, made me to realize that I was a sinner. Anybody else remember that happening to him? He made me to realize, I mean fully well realize, that I was a sinner, that I was condemned before God, that I was separated from Him. He made me to realize that. I'm telling you, sin had me in its grips. It had my soul in bondage, and there was not one thing that I could do about it. There was nothing. I had no power. There was not one thing that I could do to change that condition that I was in. I was lost and without the Lord. I'm telling you, I was on my way to eternal damnation, eternal hell and torment, and there was not one thing that I could do to change my course. But you know what? When I went to the Lord, He could. When I went to Him in repenting of my sins and placed my trust in Him, He had the power to conquer sin in my life. He had the power to break those chains. He had the power to break the yoke of sin. He had the power to set me free. And I'm telling you today, if you're here and you're lost, if you want victory today over sin, you can have it. You can have it through the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived in this world, and He conquered sin. He conquered it completely. He never sinned. Jesus, no matter how hard the devil tempted Him, He never sinned. He was never guilty of sin. There was no sin in Him. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus never sinned. He went to the cross. You know, listen, He allowed Himself to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He allowed them to take Him and to scourge Him. He allowed them to beat Him. He allowed them to put upon His head a crown of thorns. He allowed those wicked men to slap Him in the face and to spit on Him. And He allowed them to take nails and big mallets and drive them through His hands and His feet and hang Him there between heaven and earth on the cross. And He died there for the sins of the world. He died there on that cross in a bloody, beaten mess He died there. People looked up on him, and the Bible says in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah that his countenance or his appearance was marred more than anybody's had ever been. I mean, he was just, from a physical standpoint, when they looked at him, he was just a bloodied and a beaten mess. And he died there on the cross of Calvary. And they took him down and they laid his body in a borrowed tomb. They laid him aside there in death. But did they defeat him? No. On the third day, he was up, walking around again. He was up. He was alive. He went to the grave and he conquered death. He conquered it in his own body. He went to the grave and he conquered death. Hell in the grave. He came out of there and he had the keys. I'm telling you that Jesus laid his life down by his own power and he took up his life again by his own power. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I'll tell you what, when Jesus got finished with the grave, when he got finished on that third day, when he rose from the grave, because of what he did, because of his victory over that, he turned the grave for his people. He turned the grave into nothing more than just simply a place for our bodies to wait for the resurrection. That's all it is. It doesn't have any victory at all over us. It is nothing but a place for that body to lay there and wait for that time when he will raise it again. And I'm telling you today, he's coming again. He's coming again. Jesus, after all that they had done to him, he rose from the grave, proved himself to be alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, showed himself to many people. Then he met with his disciples. And after giving them some last instruction, a cloud received him out of their sight. And he ascended back to heaven and fulfilled what I believe. Now you may have a different view of this, but Jesus ascended back to heaven and fulfilled what I believe we find recorded in the 24th Psalm. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Jesus is the great conqueror. I'm telling you, listen, if you have a problem in your life, if you've got something in your life that you just cannot seem to overcome, you know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If you've got something in your life that you just cannot seem to conquer, why don't you try Jesus? Why don't you take it to him? And you'll find out that he is still conquering. You'll find out that there's nothing that he can't conquer. Paul believed it, didn't he? Didn't the Apostle Paul believe that? Didn't he say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Sure. I've never yet in my life, including the time when I cried out to the Lord for the salvation of my soul, I've never found one thing, one thing, that when I went to him and really trusted in him and really laid it down at his feet, I've never found one thing that he wasn't able to do for me. He's never failed me. Never failed me. People have. I bet you've had people that have failed you, haven't you? I bet you've had people that no matter how hard they tried to help you with something, they just were not able to do it. I think we all disappoint each other at times, don't you? We can't help it. But Jesus never fails. And there's not anything that he cannot conquer. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. And I'm thankful for the rider on the white horse and the things that he has conquered. I personally believe that the bow there is in reference to the power of his gospel, the things that he has accomplished through that. Listen, everybody, you know, Jesus is the way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Nobody can come to God any other way. They try to, but they can't. Nobody can come to God any other way but through Jesus. But listen, every single person, everyone that has ever come to him the right way, the one way that God has made, everybody that has ever come to him from the time of Adam to the time that we live in now, and it'll be this way when the last person is born into this world, everybody that has ever come to Christ and met his conditions has been saved. Everybody. Of all that you've given me, Father, I would lose none. He has never found one person that he could not save. Everybody that comes to him in repentance and faith, he will save. And he's able, the Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm telling you today that the Lord can give you victory. If you're here today and you're in the bondage of sin, he can set you free. He can give you victory. And you'll know when he does. Let's have a song. I appreciate your attention today.